It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Cut back into him and he hit him perfectly and the ball bounced out, hit Sandersfeld, and then there was about two or three great blocks by some young football players and we ended up scoring a touchdown, which created a huge, huge momentum. That when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing he shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is and it's never as good as you think it is. But, you know, the main takeaway was we played really well in the second half against a top team.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
Head coach Jay Long joining us in the studio for our Tuesday Jay Long Show. Coach, we'll get into the Mesa game, a wild one on Saturday in a minute. But first, talking current events in Chadron, the windstorm yesterday. Man, it was wild. A lot of damage around town and spots and things. First off, did you guys get a chance to practice? Did it affect you getting out on the field at all?
Yeah, we did. We were really fortunate. Basically, as soon as they canceled classes around that 11:30, and as soon as that happened, I called over to the pack and I reserved the pack, and we went in practice at 1 o'clock. Electricity went down at 2:30, so we just were walking out when they shut off electricity. So we were real lucky, Dave, because this week's a unique week for all of college sports in Division II. Last year, the NCAA voted that on voting day that they were going to take it off, and that meant no meetings, no film, no practices. So we practiced on Sunday. And just did a little light practice. Then on Monday, we needed to get that practice in because today, Tuesday, we're not practicing. Then Wednesday is a regular day, and then we're supposed to get snow on Thursday. So we needed to get something in. We were really fortunate that, I mean, it just really worked out for us to be able to get that practice before everything happened.
So did you go inside the indoor track room and then work on stuff? Can you talk about what you do in there when you have this situation? It's not a field. It's a hard surface. And how do you line up? How do you do things?
Basically, we put tennis shoes on, you go in there and you work on the basketball courts. And, you know, we went half rack. It is not live by any means, but it's not a walkthrough. It's higher tempo than a walkthrough. But it allows our guys to, you know, to focus on their pad level. It allows our guys to be able to, you know, to be able to punch and that type of stuff. Deep routes, you don't run any deep routes. You don't have any special teams. But you do have guys lining up, and we were going against their base defenses on offense and on defense, we were going against their base runs. And then as far as route combos and those things, you know, the route combos, the spacing's not right inside the pack, but we were able to, you know, still do some things and you know, be able to see their base ones and that. And more than anything, Dave, it's just really, really important to get out there and just line up and walk through things and see it, see what we're going to face. Is it the most ideal? No, Dave, it's not the most ideal, but it is better than going out there and standing in 90 mile per hour winds. Our goalpost when we walked over the back, I don't know. I did not walk on the north side of the goalpost. I'll tell you that. Our goalposts, I think, were it looked like they were almost halfway torn to the ground. It was crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah, they were tilted at like a 30 some degree angle. Looked like I walked by there yesterday trying to go to the pack for a little bit. It was closed, shut down, power out and all that stuff. I can't, you know, 104 miles an hour I heard was the biggest gust.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time in 7 to 8 years that hard and of winds consistently that bad in town. You've been here a lot longer than me. I don't know if you've experienced that.
Kind of unique story, but my very first spring ball practice, we had one that was very similar to that. I've never called a practice due to wind. In our very first spring ball practice in 2012, I called it. However, it was nothing like yesterday. And, when we were walking over, it was funny. The campus says, make sure you look for flying debris as you're moving on campus. And one of our parking lot lamps popped off. Nobody was even close to being in danger. Don't get me wrong there, but amazing how hard it was blowing. After the electricity went out, my staff, we still had our laptops, and we also had Wi-Fi, which was also kind of interesting. But we were able to watch some film. We were watching film together, and the Chicoine Center sounded like a haunted house. I mean, it was creaking and moaning, and I don't know whether there was any damage. damage done to the Chicoine. I know that, we end up locking some doors, moving some things around, so we didn't have anything with the flying debris. But, you know, on campus, I know there was at least four trees that I saw blown down, and which is always sad. Those trees have been there forever.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Lucinda does an awesome job of replenishing trees. So we have, you know, trees from every era, but those big, big, beautiful trees going down, that always is sad.
Yeah, that was sad. Heard some windows were blown out at the Coil building, I think, the new building even. Tough day weather-wise around town. Thank goodness we played Saturday. I would imagine they may have postpone the game if it was that bad. They would have had to do something, right? I mean,
you couldn't play in it, Dave. I don't even know if you could. I watched a kid walk down some steps and the wind caught him and it almost blew him down the steps. I mean,
wow.
There's no way in heck you could throw a ball. There's definitely no way you could have kicked a ball. They would have had to call it. It would have been very unique. I don't know if I've ever heard of a game getting called because of wind, but that was crazy wind.
It was. So did, I guess, final touch on the wind, Coach, did you hear of any damage to the field or the stadium football wise up there?
I just saw a parking lot light. Nothing else. I'm a little bit nervous about our bags. I guess I have not inventoried our bags. If somebody has an agile bag in one of their yards, you know where it belongs. It came from us. So please bring it back. But as far as damage goes, I did not see any damage besides the goalposts looking like they were getting blown to South Dakota.
Have to reset those and get them calibrated straight up and down again. All right, Coach. Well, thanks for the report on that. Glad that you guys were able to get a practice and some work in, and safety-wise, everything sounds like it went well for the team. Let's look at the game on Saturday. Just an unbelievable football game, really. Colorado Mesa, they pull off the stunning comeback in overtime. Second time you've played them in OT in the last few years, too. What did you talk to the team about in the locker room afterwards that game? What do you say to your guys in those kind of heartbreaking situations?
You know, Dave, every loss hurts. I mean, that's a kind of an understatement or an easy thing to say. But, you know, when you have those situations, you just tell the truth. I mean, that's, you know, and most of the time what you're saying, Dave, is not what the guy, you know, the guy's seen the same thing, you know, so it's not like you're surprising them with anything. You know, you want to win those close games. I mean, when you look at it like a fan, you know, what an awesome Saturday. It was really fun. What a great game. Weather was nice. I mean, we had some great outputs by some guys. I mean, we had some great plays by some of our players, and it hurts, Dave, when it comes down to one play. And you know, in a game, you never say it comes down to one play. And you know, there's always other instances that put us into those situations. But
yeah,
it literally came down to the very last play of the game, and we had to get 1.5 yards. And you know, Dave, that play that we ran, we scored 3 touchdowns that day from the 1 to 3 yard line on that play.
Yeah.
We also went for it on 4th and short 2 times, running that exact same play. And what happened was, is they made a play. They put their corner came in, and very few run schemes do you count for a corner. And he put himself in a position. He guessed the count, which would have been what a smart football player does. Nobody's going to go on 2 and on the yard and a half line, and that kid made a play and at the right time, and that's the truth. And it hurts. It stinks. But you know, I told the guys on Sunday that, you know, because we practice on Sunday, we normally give them Sundays off, but due to the NCAA voting day, we practiced. Is that it came down to the end of that one play, and they made it. And you know, we still have another game left. We can't just keep dwelling on it, and we got to go through our 24-hour process. After the 24 hours is over, we learn from it, we fix our mistakes, and we make sure those mistakes don't happen again, and then we move on. And once Monday came, you know, then after that practice is over on Sunday, then it's all about, you know, beating South Dakota School Mines.
Yeah, Jalen Starks, 3 touchdowns, went over the top. I know Sam and I looking at each other just felt like, because all the success you had with him, like it was going to be over the top again for the win. And like you said, a guy just makes a play. But that had been working all day long for you. In the first half, Coach, you built a 24-3 lead at halftime. And we look at the defense now where you had 7 sacks in one half. It was almost like every play it felt like your guys were getting in the backfield.
You know, Dave, right before half, we were trying to sneak another, you know, maybe field goal or touchdown. I'm very first play, I think it was Hunter, came off the edge. And, you know, Hunter's been having the last three or four games, just been outstanding rushing the quarterback. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he's three sacks away from the school record and tying the school record. And Casey Barron is, one of the best football players to ever wear the jersey at Chatham State. And Hunter's close to getting it. And it's within reach. And he made a huge play before half. And I called the timeout was to be able to utilize some time and hopefully get into some field goal range, especially when we had the wind to our back and Gunner is such a strong tool that we need to continue to utilize.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, like you said, they didn't even move it a yard right before half. And we weren't able to score off it before half, but it really showed what, we were doing on defense first half. I think we held negative yards rushing and we had, all those sacks.
Minus 15 rushing yards in the first half. It was pretty incredible. What did you get from the film in the second half that kind of explains how Mesa made their comeback? Obviously, some adjustments. They were able to slow down that pass rush, and mm-hmm. We did see some big balls down the field.
You know, Mesa's adjustments was they kept seven guys in to protect at times. They mixed it up. It wasn't the whole game, but they mixed it up. And when you keep seven guys in, we were only rushing four. In the first half, we were rushing four against their five, possibly six. We were winning. We were winning those one-on-ones. They also changed quarterbacks, and they started getting rid of the ball a lot faster, Dave. Our guys were still went in their one-on-ones. They were still getting in the backfield. It just was that they were getting rid of the ball faster, and they were able to, throw some deep balls on us, and really, it was about four or five plays that we'd love to have back, and just like on offense at the end of the game, Dave, I still have a hard time not calling that same play, that we called, but knowing what we know now, at the time, it was definitely proven. And, in the game defensively, there's some things that we would like to, be able to have back, but that isn't how it works. And you make those calls with what you feel and what we practice and how we've executed things. And, Mesa came down and made some big plays down the stretch. And then, Dave, they got some momentum rolling. And was just like we had momentum rolling in the first half, they got momentum rolling in the second half. And when momentum starts rolling like that, you got to be able to stop it and change it. We did, but it was a little bit too late. They got back into the game.
Head Coach Jay Long with us on Tuesday night. Coach, there was a lot of controversial moments and plays and a couple of fumbles at goal lines, one for CSC, one for Colorado Mesa. You get a chance to go back and watch film and diagnose some of this stuff. First one for you, what'd you see watching the tackle by Joey Guile made this incredible 10-yard loss on a run play. Official throws the flag, and that might be the most upset I've ever seen a Chadron State football crowd. It just seemed they were disagreeing with it, as we all kind of did. But that did turn into the tying touchdown to make the game 31-31, a really controversial call, a really important moment in the game. What'd you guys see when you rewatched it?
Dave, I was late to our meeting this morning, and the reason why I was late to our meeting is I was talking to the conference office, and I talked to him for about a half an hour, and our head of officials, he told me that was the most judgment calls that we've had in a game all year, and there was a lot of judgment calls, and what a judgment call is that a guy makes a judgment call on what they see at that moment that fast with. In a 5-second play and, less than probably 5-second play. And it felt like the judgment calls went, against us and, on some of them. And when judgment calls happen, I feel very adamant about, what our guys do. I guess just Dave, I was disappointed in a lot of calls. And, that was one of those calls I think I was disappointed in.
When you talk to the conference official folks about these type of things, and every team sends plays in every week from every game, it's a common thing, fans. It's not just once or twice a mm-hmm. year. They're always trying to be the best officials and best. They want this to all work the way it should and by the book. So you guys always send this stuff in. Is there any talk at getting replay into Division II or into, can you go conference by conference with that, or does it have to be an NCAA-wide thing? Because if there was an example to have instant replay in a game, I think this last Saturday was a great example of why we should have instant replay available.
There was two fumbles, that one by us and one by them, both at crucial parts of the game. Goal line fumbles that, they definitely should have been reviewed. I mean, if we had it. And I guess, Dave, just to flat out just answer your question. The MIAA ran a test this year on it. Once that testing gets done on the year, from what I have heard on the committees that I am on, they love it. The teams love it. And they used the example that there was a game that it was actually an overtime game, and there was a fumble ruled a fumble on the field, and they went back and reviewed it, and it was not a fumble. So they, you know, prevented they made it right. They made the game was called right, mm-hmm. and instant replay allowed that. And you know, Dave, I mean, when people are hard on officials. It's just I from everything from watching my, you know, seventh grade son wrestle to my, you know, high school girl daughters what play volleyball. You know, people are hard on officials, and because it does come down to judgment, and we all have so much blood and sweat and tears into our own teams that we you know, sometimes you're jaded and you see things one way.
Sure.
And but you know, when you have that replay capabilities, you know, that's big. And you know, Dave, the best part about this is that I got told from the, you know, the coaches in my committee is it only costs $1,500, and I don't want to make sounds like
per season per school
for a school, and so that's less. It's just a little bit more than $100 a game. Dave, I'd have wrote a check on Saturday for $100 for to be able to have replay.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Out of my own.
The J Long fund.
The J Long. Yeah. I would have just wrote a check. I would have handed. I would have had $100 in my pocket for right there to do that.
And, I could have collected enough change thrown from the stands for that bill.
So I think that, Dave, it's something that we need to bring up in our conference office, especially after we see this success or we hear about the positives and the negatives from the MIAA conference trying it. So I don't know if you know this, Dave, but you know, Shattered High School and Crawford High School, they have replay capabilities right now on their sideline. After every play is done, Coach Letcher can pull out his iPad and he can watch the previous play that was ran. He can watch all the plays that were previously run.
And is that for coaching strategy?
It is for coaching strategy. So
wow. It
is not something that Crawford has it and Shattern has it. Now, I don't know if Hay Springs and those guys have it. I know for certain that those two schools have them because, you know, Coach Rick Berry, when he was hired as new AD, that was something that he wanted to, you know, because they had it at Crawford.
Wow.
And NFL has these capabilities. High school have these capabilities. The NCAA has not voted on it, and it's just huddle replay is what it's called. And once again, it's another package, very minimal cost with things. So as far as what we're talking about, it is something we have the capabilities that are there. I guess I'm just kind of complaining right now. But I will tell you that, you know, at our coaches' meetings, it's something that we discuss. And, you know, out there, there is some the purest coaches that they don't want that. They don't want that. And then there's other coaches that are, you know, we have this technology. The kids are used to playing in high school with this technology. Why are we not using it in college? So it'll be something. It'll happen sooner or later, Dave. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Wow. What a great bit of information. I had no idea about the high schools with that available to them. And we all watch a lot of football, and replay can drag things on. It slows the games down. It can be annoying, but getting it right ultimately is what I think everybody really wants. And a lot of examples, even coming up against a team we're going to play this week, that South Dakota Mines and CSC have had games where replay really would have come into play. But we'll see. Glad to hear the MIAA is going with the experiment. Can't wait to see how it turns out. Coach, I know you'll keep us up to date on it. How do you approach and go through your practice this week, Coach, as we kind of move along and start looking ahead at the finish to the season? You had the weather situation and all that. You got South Dakota Mines coming up with the wildness of the Mesa game and the heartbreak. Are you guys going into anything special practice-wise for mentality or motivation with the guys?
You know, Dave, this is our last week of practice, and you know, with you know, being your last week of practice, you know, there's always, you know, our guys better understand our base schemes. They better understand our base runs. They better understand our base passing routes on defense. They better understand our base coverages, our base plays. You know, there's always things that when you watch on film that, hey, these are things that we can take advantage of. And you know, we've met as a staff. We put those all together. Those are in. We worked them yesterday. Today we've got a huge film day as a coaching staff because there's no players around. So Wednesday, we'll then be able to insert a little bit more of that. But as far as, you know, like when you play a rivalry game, do you get more, you know, pump up speeches? Do you do something different? Do you hit more? Do you hit less? Because you don't think you need to hit as much because you're going to hit harder in a rivalry game. You know, rivalry game, just get the juices going a little bit more before the game. But as soon as the whistle blows, Dave, you just rely back on the things that you always do. And that means you go out and you practice hard. That means that whatever's in front of you, you go out and attack and to your best of your abilities. And we focus on going 1-0 in every play. Because that's all that matters. Everything is you just want to go 1-0 on that play. Whatever's in front of you, put all your effort into it. You win, let's go. We refresh, let's go again. If you lose, you flush it, you fix it, make sure it doesn't happen again. Then you put all your effort into that next play again. So as far as rivalry goes, I think it really is more fun for the fans. And then I think you feel a little bit more, maybe a little more juiced before a game. But as soon as that first kickoff goes, it's a football game.
Yeah, and I know your guys love playing South Dakota Mines. They don't need any extra motivation. This the new trophy that's become part of this rivalry is something that both teams really like to fight for. We'll get to the preview in just a quick second, but I want to touch on injuries first here, Coach. Dorian Collier injured on a controversial play in the game on Saturday, hit-wise. Kobe Whipple didn't finish. Mossy didn't suit up, and it sounds like maybe we won't have him back.
Yeah, there's a few more banged-up stuff. We'll talk more about that on Saturday before the game. But yeah, Dorian didn't finish. I would say he's doubtful for Saturday. Whipple, he played the majority of the game. He was in on fourth quarter. He's banged up pretty good. It's his last game in his hometown. I'm hoping. I'll tell you, Dave, I'm hoping he gets his last opportunity to go play and then go play against the rivals in his hometown of Rapid City. So I think that hopefully he'll be able to play. Moss, he's out for the year. So I mean, it's another one of the just a lot of injuries, Dave, this year we had, and his one was most time when it happens on air, those are the ones that you scary the most rather than the ones when you get hit. He's been a tremendous spark for us, a great player for us, and you just hate to see when a guy can't finish the season, especially at the end of the year with two games left.
Yeah, and speaking of scary moments, Coach, you mentioned that you did get an update on the Mesa player who was down on the sidelines. Nobody could really tell what was going on. We just saw a player down, we saw a backboard come out, and medical personnel take the young man away, but you do have an update on his situation.
Yeah. That was another one of those unique things in the game. I'm assuming he's on the sideline probably 10 minutes right before our overtime. Tough deal, and you never want to see the ambulance come out on the football field no matter whose side it's on. And on Monday I called up coach from Mesa, and he said that he is fine. I don't know whether he'll be able to play this week, but he is fine, and that's the main thing that I wanted to hear. So I was glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's great news. Certainly glad that he's going to be okay. Scary moment on Saturday indeed. All right, Coach, we'll finish up the show here tonight. South Dakota School of Mines, the Eagle Rock Trophy game. They've got one of the top offenses in the country this year to defend, but a lot of guys that we have seen for the last several years, including their quarterback. What else do you want to tell us about South Dakota Mines as you get an early look at them?
This is a unique game because, Dave, I think this will be our fourth time playing them in 3 years.
Yeah.
So we've played them quite a bit. And in the COVID year, they were a team that, was able to manage the COVID really well, just like we were, and we were able to play them two times. Then last year we played them again, and then, obviously we get to be playing them again this year. So one of the things that definitely stand out is their quarterback. I mean, their quarterback is a top player in the league. Last week, when we were playing Mesa, I felt like Karst is one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Colorado School of Mines quarterback, he's one of the best players in the country. So when you look in our conference, I think with those three are really, really great players, and he's a guy that we're gonna have to make sure that we have a plan for. We need to get pressure on him. They will run him also, run the ball with him a little bit with some RPOs. So we got to make sure we're physical on the run, and defensively they're much, much improved. When you look at their defensive coordinator, I actually GA'd with him at Wayne State way back in the long time ago, 2001, 2002. With things, I coached his brother. He's a terrific football coach. He both him and I became head football coaches. right around the same time. I was at Black Hill State. He was at Concordia in Nebraska, and he ended up going with his good buddy Charlie Floor up to South Dakota School of Mines. They played college football together at Dakota State, and you know, he does a really good job at the defense. He really does mixes up really well. You know, when you play an engineering team, you know that they're smart kids. You know that they're kids that are able to, you know, handle a lot mentally, and he runs the most fronts and coverages out of any team in our league. And, you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to confuse, you know, the offenses and trying to give a lot of different looks to the quarterbacks and to the line, you know, because the more different fronts you get, the more, you know, different things, the way the ball hits at certain spots. Plus, as a coach, you can't just say, hey, this is an advantage play because they're in this front 90% of the time, so we're going to do this. Now, when that happens, you have to go more base plays, which is not the worst thing. Base plays are your base for a reason.
Yeah.
And you know, so when you look at that, that's something that is definitely different than what we've had in the past. And then, you know, special teams wise, we need to make a difference in special teams. And we need to have an opportunity where we can change the game on special teams, because it's going to come down to, Dave, it's going to be one of them games. And I'm extremely excited about it. I think the weather right now is going to be, right now it says cold, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I'm they're a South Dakota team. We're a Nebraska team. And when I was at Black Hill State, I always told recruits that, you know, we're from the South, so we're a lot more warmer. But the temperature-wise is not much different, you know, in regards to where we're at. So it'll be one of them good old fall fun football games. And can't wait to go play this Saturday.
Yeah, I love this matchup. It's one of my favorite of the year. And I know the guys on each team love it. It's going to be cold. It's going to feel like some kind of wintry football. And the games we'll get into this on Saturday, but the games the last 5-6 years have had so many unbelievable and incredible changes of momentum and big plays and swings and controversies that it is the definition really of how a rivalry really should be and how it feels. So I can't wait to get into that with you, Coach, on Saturday as well on the pregame show. He's Jay Long every Tuesday night with us on the Jay Long Show. Coach, thanks again. Another great episode. We appreciate the thoughts on the team and the game last week, and looking forward to Saturday in Rapid City.
Thank you, Dave. And go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268. Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.